It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Yeah, well, I guess we have to stand on ceremony. You know the whole bit of this podcast?
No, I don't.
So the bit is the host is always different and the very special guest is always me.
Okay.
We're just here to talk about Captain America. Okay. But if we just stand on ceremony and you do the, hey, welcome to the Toncast. I'm your host, Chris McGuire.
It's the Toncast?
The Toncast, yeah.
T-O-N?
T-O-N.
Okay, all right.
Because there were already 8 Todd casts.
Oh, I got it. I get it. So you're Toncast. Like, so welcome to the Toncast. I'm Chris McGuire. With me tonight is my special guest. Todd Robert Anderson?
Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
All right, great.
Yeah. All right. When you're ready, and then we'll just... Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Toncast. This is your host, Chris McGuire. With me tonight is my special guest, Todd Robert Anderson.
Hey, Chris. Hey, thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, and
cleared my schedule for you.
I appreciate that.
On the podcast. On my podcast.
On your podcast. That's really nice. Because you know how outspoken I am about my distaste for something that you love. That's why I'm here.
That's apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
I'm driving this.
Yeah.
So the reason why you're here today is to tell me why I'm stupid for enjoying Captain America: Civil War.
I feel out of the gate that this you're talking in roast language.
Okay.
I'm not here to tell you you're stupid for liking something. I just want to understand why.
Why
you
I liked
like it.
It. Why yeah. I liked it?
Yeah. Why did you
but
like
I
it?
But I have a feeling you're going to have like an extremely strong response
to
any reasoning why I like
it. Hey, this is your show. You tell
That's
me.
True,
I can tell you
show.
Why I don't understand.
But you're my guest. I don't want to be rude.
Right, right.
So wait, if you want to find out why, you can say whatever you want. And I can't feel bad about that because you're my guest. And my guests can do whatever they want on my show.
I appreciate that. You're a good host. Let me ask you this. Before we even talk about this thing we're going to talk about, I'll ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Because we
That's
disagree.
That's weird of you asking me a question.
It is. But we disagree
on
this. But do we agree on other things?
Okay,
have you seen
the
movie Green Room yet?
Green Room? No, I haven't.
So this is the movie. Did you ever see Blue Ruin?
No.
Okay. So this director, this writer-director.
Okay.
He's got this movie out, and it's got Patrick Stewart, you know, from the Star Trek show. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give too much away, but basically it's about a punk band that's desperate for a gig, and they wind up playing a gig at a neo-Nazi club.
Please tell me Patrick Stewart is a neo-Nazi.
Patrick Stewart is the neo-Nazi.
Ugh.
He's the patriarchal
neo-Nazi. How did I miss
neo-Nazi.
This? This is Green Room?
It's called Green Room.
I gotta go.
I think it's the perfect movie.
Okay.
It's
really.
I think it is the most flawless movie I've seen so far this year. It's flawless.
All right.
It's paced perfectly. Every performance is perfect. There's no bullshit in this movie.
Okay.
From the unrecognizable character faces to the more recognizable people in the movie are all good. All bringing it, and it's tight.
Right.
It's tight. So I asked because I wondered if
I have not seen
loved.
It, but I don't know. Are you a fan of Patrick Stewart?
I am.
Well, then we have something in common.
Okay,
I'm
right.
a huge Patrick Stewart fan.
So there,
he was the first guy who owned being bald, I think, on television.
Is that
on television.
Why? Is that why?
That's one of the reasons why I think he's great.
And this is the first time he's played a skinhead Nazi.
Yes.
Which when he put himself out there as a bald dude.
Right.
That was the association. But he was the captain of the goddamn Starship
Enterprise. He was
the captain
of the Enterprise. You know the whole story where he auditioned with a hairpiece.
Uh-huh.
He did a lot of parts with a hairpiece and stuff like that. And for Star Trek, he did both. They thought it looked silly or something, so they had him do it again bald. Oh. And they hired him and they wanted him to do it that way. But at the time, I remember that was like 1989 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, ball guys have been like, since then you've had Michael Chiklis, you've had a bunch of people who have done, like, the shape.
But
then
back then, it was back then people it was would deal. Do the comb.
It was like, oh, there's a bald guy. Yeah, they would do the. They, it was
if you
like,
had any hair, it, you let it grow.
Yes.
If you had that ring,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Around no, he did it tight. He did a tight, like, military cut. Very, you know. So I've always been, like, a huge Patrick Stewart fan. For that, because I was, I mean, people might, you know, people, a friend of mine was a comedian. He had this joke. He was like, he goes, oh, I've seen this. This is how old this joke is. You seen the new Star Trek? This is what is this? 25th century, and they haven't found a cure for baldness yet? This is bullshit.
That's still a good joke.
It's still a good joke. It's old as shit. But anyway, that's why I love Patrick Stewart. So we're on Patrick Stewart.
Okay, good. So we like the same thing.
What's Patrick Stewart? So what else?
What's your favorite Tears for Fears song? That's my only other question.
The only one that comes to mind is Shout.
What about Everybody Wants to Rule the World?
Oh, that's a great one.
Do you like Shout more?
No.
I like Shout a lot.
Why aren't there three great ones? There's Shout.
There's another one.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World, and there's one other one. And I could probably say unequivocally that Everybody Wants to Rule the World is the best Tears for Fears.
Okay.
Even without knowing what the third one is.
Right. So we're on the same page. Yes. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
And it's weird that song was the theme song for that Dennis Miller show.
Yes, Dennis Miller. We kind of remember that.
Before he went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that show was fun.
What, the Dennis Miller
the
one?
Dennis Miller,
where he did, oh, the
yeah,
HBO
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah.
The first, yeah, that was an, like that back was in the an day. Amazing show.
Yeah.
That show was like, I had a number of friends who worked on it.
It was just Dennis Miller Live, right?
It was Dennis Miller Live. He had a show on Fox. He had a show on Fox, too. I don't know if he had another one. The Fox one was a regular talk show, regular traditional talk show.
Uh-huh.
This one, I thought the HBO show was like one of – there are a lot of shows – I've worked on a lot of shows that have very – that sort of the basis, I think, for the format, because it's basically driven by one guy, starts with one guy, he goes out, comedy, 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 maybe one guest, comedy, comedy, comedy. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's driving the whole thing. The guests are somewhat incidental.
Yeah.
A little like The Daily Show. Like, The Daily Show probably – I wonder if that was before The Daily Show.
What's your take on that? It was before The Daily Show.
Yeah, I think it's a very similar
format. Because that was pre-9/11.
I think it was – oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I think the Fox show he had was post.
No. They
wasn't?
Both were pre. They both were
when
pre-9/11.
When was the NFL thing?
That was after 9/11. That was after 9/11. And he – the other thing with Miller – yeah, no, Miller did a lot of stand-up specials after 9/11 where he, you know, he's bananas. And did a lot of, and had, he had a radio show also.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Like an
yeah.
AM radio or something.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He was doing the Limbaugh thing.
I met him when I did stand-up comedy in the 90s. I loved Dennis Miller. I used to think he was great. I loved his stand-up back then.
It was so good.
The Black and White special, to me, is such a great special. It's so good.
He's the king of references.
It's so great. That's an amazing special. But he, I worked with him on a award show. Uh-huh. And he was, this is post 9/11.
Do you remember which one?
Yeah, it was called the Critics' Choice Awards.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, but this was very early on. It was, it was televised, but it was on like a really niche network, I think. I can't remember who it was, but it was kind of like off in the hinterlands or something like that. And, I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was AMC. I don't know. That's not so off in the middle. Anyway, even though he was crazy, Dennis Miller, he wasn't like that when I met him. And he was very nice. He was very generous. He was great with hearing jokes. He was like super like didn't like he was just great. He liked a good joke. If he didn't like a joke, he wasn't like an asshole about it. So it was cool to me. It was cool to meet him. Politically, I don't agree with him, but. He was a cool guy to
meet. Well, there's a lot of people I like who I don't agree with politically.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll still watch the shit out of a James Woods movie.
Yes.
That guy's nutballs. But I love his movies.
The especially old ones are my favorite.
Those old, bestseller. and
Cobb. No, I don't know Bette Seller.
Oh, you've never seen Bette Seller?
No.
That's late '80s. It's him and Brian Dennehy. And he's a hitman, and Brian Dennehy's a novelist who's got writer's block. And so he breaks into – it's awesome.
Yeah.
He breaks into basically Brian – he pushes his way into Dennehy's life, and Dennehy starts writing a novel based on him. So he's telling Dennehy all his truths but changing names.
Did you ever see True West? Sounds a little like Sam Shepard's play.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it feels a little similar dynamic kind of.
Oh, yeah, I see that comparison. Yeah. I mean, it's way more – ludicrous than True West was.
Right. Have you seen Salvador?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's the amazing Oliver Stone picture. Yeah, one of the only Oliver Stone movies I like.
He's so good in it.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
You really don't like all... That's the only Oliver Stone movie you like?
Not the only one.
What's yours?
The only one... Well, I'll watch Talk Radio, even though I think he fucked it up.
Okay.
Because I really think that's a cool story.
Can you watch JFK?
No.
Really?
I can't do JFK.
Why can't?
It's boring and silly.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like Platoon. I don't like Stone. I just don't like his movies.
Interesting.
I'm trying to think if I like The Hand.
You didn't find JFK at least one of these movies that you got to see, say, so that, like, that's a movie you can watch, and when you're done, it's, to me, I found it very sticky.
Yeah.
In my head, where it's like, oh, now I know all the conspiracy theories. It was the mob, it was the CIA, it was Lyndon Johnson, it was Oswald, it was all of them. It was not that for that. I mean, obviously, it's not. It's all they're all theories, but as pop culture, I find that if you watch that movie, it's sticky and you can kind of understand the controversy around JFK's assassination.
Well, honestly, I haven't seen it since it was in the theaters.
Oh, okay.
So, and
you
I
should
didn't...
watch it sometime.
Well, maybe
it's
I'll
not
look
that
at
bad.
It.
Again. Kevin Costner's pretty good, isn't it? A little whiny.
Yeah, I remember not liking him.
You know, best Kevin Costner. What's?
I like Kevin Costner.
I like Kevin.
Don't
Costner.
Get me wrong.
I do too.
I didn't like him in that.
I loved him. You know, underrated in Silverado. He was great.
He's
Silverado.
So good in Silverado.
He's so good in Silverado.
I love Silverado.
Silverado is a killer movie.
It's great. It's one of the...
What a cast.
Yeah, it's just a fun...
Who wrote that?
Kasdan.
Oh, of course.
And he directed it, too. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
They just did... Do you listen to the Script Notes podcast? John August and... it's John
I
August
should. I've worked with John. I should listen to his stupid podcast.
You should listen to the... They did a live podcast with Lawrence Kasdan.
Uh-huh.
And who's, you know, delightful. And just answering questions and all this stuff. And they were talking about... You know, the different movies did. Obviously, everybody was talking about The Force Awakens and The Empire Strikes Back. But they mentioned, like, Grand Canyon and stuff. But I think Silverado is a great movie.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
And he directed it, too.
It's just a fun Western.
Yes.
It's a fun Western. I think people don't think about it that much because it's a bubblegum movie. It's not... There's no... It's just
a character movie.
It's just a popcorn show.
Yes, I agree.
Which I think Kasdan, that's what he was great at.
I agree.
And continues to be great at, is an entirely engaging popcorn movie.
So how do you feel about, before we get on to what we came here to talk about, where I asked you to come here, how do you feel about The Force Awakens?
I have no problem with that movie whatsoever. I liked it.
But it's a popcorn movie,
It's such a popcorn movie, and it's well done enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't put it on the same pedestal that people put the original couple movies on.
No.
To me, the best Star Wars movie will always be Star Wars, which is now everyone calls it Star Wars Chapter 4, A New Hope. But that
is
the best
one.
Like
that more than the Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, I'm like the guy who... And I like Return of the Jedi. I like all three of those movies.
Those are great.
And I don't think it's just nostalgia. I think they're well-paced. They're fun. And that's what the new one did very well, is it created that same kind of cliffhanger pacing all at once. But Empire Strikes Back, honestly, for me, the iconic stuff with Yoda and Luke Skywalker in the Dagobah swamp goes on too long.
Right.
And I don't – like, the first movie is just this build to an awesome battle
sequence.
It is
beat-to-beat, like, one of the greatest movies. The dialogue isn't great.
It's not.
It's really not. The story is amazing.
Yeah.
And visually, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The dialogue is super...
It's corny.
It's corny.
It's corny as hell.
It's really
corny. Which, the pacing of the very first movie, the corny dialogue, I worked for it. But when they got to... Because there's a soap operatic element to The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
That took it took itself a little too seriously, whereas the first one I don't think did at all. And I don't think the new one took itself incredibly seriously.
No, I didn't think so.
But it did descend into that by the end with the death of an iconic character. Spoiler alert. After
maybe
the fact.
You deserve it. If
yeah,
you,
fuck off. Yeah, if you haven't seen that stupid crazy movie. Then
but maybe. I actually, like, I felt a little, like, I was watching it. I enjoyed it. I was smiling the whole time. I know, like, when I love a movie, like, when I go in and, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, I had zero expectations for. Zero. Yeah.
But you liked it.
I went in, 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes in, I got a big smile on my face.
Yeah.
And I smiled the entire time.
Yeah, I was the same way.
Loved it.
And it choked me up. The
yes.
Groot stuff choked me up.
Oh,
like,
the Groot stuff was great.
I like James Gunn a lot.
Yeah,
I think he's
great.
A really talented dude. And Slither is one of my favorite horror comedies of all time. But I thought he did such a good job of balancing the sense of humor
mm-hmm.
with the schmaltz,
right.
with the Marvel Universe stuff,
right,
like
right.
all together.
Yeah.
I thought it was so well paced and perfect. Like that, the sentimental stuff totally worked on
it. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. And when the little Groot tree came up at
yeah.
the very
yeah,
end, I was laughing and crying. I was like,
Groot. It was great. And it's always nice when you have no expectations and you go to a movie. And you're smiling. The other one, I don't know if you like this one, but this was another one like this. Also came out last year. I think it was last year. My wife wanted to go. It was The Kingsman. And I had zero expectations. Zero.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes, I got a big smile on my face the whole time. I think they one of them borrowed from the other, probably The Kingsman, I think, in terms of like soundtrack and some of that style and stuff like that, but I loved it. It was just
it's fun.
A lot of it is not having a lot of expectations, and I did have.
But I also think part of what's great about that movie is Colin Firth.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's
amazing.
Good. His performance is 100% on point. He's not goofing around
mm-hmm.
at all. But you can see the actor's joy that is sort of the foundation for everything he's doing.
Well, he's playing...
It's a joyful
yes.
performance.
He's playing it straight, but he's not taking it too seriously.
Right.
He's not camping it up, and it's shot beautifully. Like,
mm-hmm.
the way... That's the scene in the bar is like, the best... I think that's pretty much the introduction to his character, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's one of those, like, great... introductions where it's just like this is the guy. Like you see an action sequence that's thoroughly there are people you hate.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately takes all that shit.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, so we have a lot of things that we like.
So
thing I liked here. What? Tell me if you thought this was schmaltzy. This is my favorite moment, which I agree was very schmaltzy in The Force Awakens. Now, The Force Awakens, I think combined sort of best of Star Wars, best of. Empire Strikes Back into one movie. I thought it was a little ambitious, even.
And Jedi too. Honestly.
Yes, it was kind of like greatest hits of.
To me, it felt like a reboot of the entire franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Imagining the original trilogy as this one movie.
You know what Lawrence Kasdan said in that podcast, which you should listen to. It was great. He goes when they were sitting down talking about it. He said to J.J. Abrams, "He goes, all we have to do." Is delight people.
Yeah.
That's all we have to do is delight the fans. We don't need... They're not looking for us to do the next whatever. I'm paraphrasing what he said. But they're not looking for the next cool thing. They're looking for us to go... the franchise is in good hands now.
Right.
But favorite moment was... And they built up the whole thing. Was... And although this is my one thing about that movie, and I will say that, is like... It seemed like, man, lightsabers must be kind of easy to use. Because isn't it weird? Like, Luke had to have the helmet on. He had to do the thing, all that stuff. Was he the shittiest Jedi ever? Because
the other guy
Daisy picks up the thing.
And she's
all ready to go. And the good stormtrooper That guy.
But that's a budget thing. If Lucas put in all the fucking training shit with the floating ball and all that to get effects in there that were essentially cheap and he could keep it effects driven, but he didn't have the money to have a whole battle sequence there.
Oh, interesting.
Whereas this had so much money.
I just thought it was why weird. Would you, all of a sudden she's good at it.
No.
It was a little crazy.
No, you're absolutely right, and I totally agree with you. And you can Gilligan's Island the shit out of The Force Awakens. Yeah. I mean, there's stuff that doesn't make any sense. Like we had a comic on our film pig show, Matt Champagne, who brought up, like, you can put in the opening scroll that the Empire is risen from the ashes.
Right.
That's a nice metaphor. But realistically, where are all these fucking stormtroopers coming from?
No, absolutely. I was kind of like, you know, they're talking about the rebels. Well, are they rebels or are they in charge? I don't know who's fucking. It was a little bananas. And I will say that my biggest thing, even watching it, where she's in the chair and all of a sudden she uses the Jedi mind trick on the guy. First day that she's a Jedi, she's way better than Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Way better. And then, but I will say, setting up for my favorite moment in the movie is they both go for the lightsaber and it goes to her. Great moment. Don't know that it's, even though it was not earned, I still was moved from a story standpoint. I was very satisfied, even though I was not moved. I mean, I was moved, but I don't think.
I don't disagree. I liked that moment a lot, too. There was a lot about that movie that I liked. I've now seen it twice.
Yeah,
I'll watch it again. I got it on Blu-ray because my kid likes it.
Yeah,
I have no problem with it. No problem. It's, you can pick it apart.
It is what it is.
Yeah. They built another Death Star.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense. It does not make sense that they continue to make a giant weapon that has the same stupid fault weak
in
point.
It, right. The same weak point. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's talk Captain America Civil War.
All right. So for me, this movie is a mystery.
Okay.
And let me give you my cap.
First of all, shouldn't it be an Avengers movie?
It is an Avengers movie.
Right?
Anything else.
Why was it a Captain America movie?
Because they owed another Captain America movie, but I feel like that was a huge mistake because I think the two the previous Captain America movies, and I'm not a comic book nerd. Mm-hmm. I only read Mad Max. I was a Mad Magazine nerd.
Me too.
And I didn't read any of the superhero shit.
Okay.
And heavy metal. I read that because it had naked chicks in it. That's it. I was like, I don't understand. There were drug jokes, and I was like, I don't know what I don't know what drugs are. There's a naked cartoon lady.
That was like porn for people that wanted to buy. It's like anime. It must be anime. It's kind of an anime thing. People like that. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't get anime, but you know, it's cool. I don't judge people for whatever the shit they like is in that realm.
There you go.
So what was I saying?
So you said this movie's a mystery to you.
Yeah, because the first two Captain America movies, I really, really like.
Okay.
And I said I wasn't a comic book nerd, and that there's a reason for that. It's like I can enjoy Marvel movies if they're fun and well-paced. And I think they go back and forth. I think for the most part, the Spider-Man movies have sucked, right? I mean, and I know that's not Marvel Studios.
What about the Sam Raimi ones?
I didn't like the Sam Raimi ones.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
I loved the first one so much.
You'll appreciate this. So the first
fall. And the special effects aren't even awesome. They were at the time, but they don't hold up looking back. Junk.
No.
They don't hold up.
At the time, Steve, our mutual friend Steve Falk, so fucking excited to see Spider-Man.
Yep.
Which struck me as, because he hates comic book movies at this point. He's very anti-comic book movie. But that makes sense because he doesn't like anything that's too trendy.
Right.
But he really wanted to see Spider-Man. He just loved the idea of Spider-Man. Maybe he read the comic books as a kid. I don't know.
Well, maybe as a kid, there's a lot to, like, for writers or, like, whatever, there's a lot to appeal to that character.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So he was super excited, and he's like, we got to go see Spider-Man.
Right.
So there was, like, a friendship promise that I was going to go see Spider-Man.
Right, and you didn't care. Fall.
Not really. And then I was out with friends one night, and spontaneously they went, "Hey, let's go see Spider-Man." And I was like, no, I promised my buddy I was going to go see it with him. And they're like, oh, come on.
Right.
You're a grown-up. You can go see Spider-Man.
Oh, so you went before
I Pete, went,
and he was bummed out. He was mad at you.
I didn't tell him.
Oh, okay.
What?
That's and, like what I would have done to my wife.
And I didn't. Yeah. And I didn't. I didn't like Spider-Man. Right. I really didn't like it. Like, it aggravated me the same way the Civil War Captain America movie
like
did.
It.
I really didn't like it.
Why?
And I lied to Falk and said, when are we going? And I went to see it again.
Even
pretending
you hated it.
Pretending I was rediscovering
that's
my
bananas.
Hatred of it.
That's bananas.
Yeah, that is bananas.
That's a little like, you should look into that.
Well, years
you felt
went
like
by,
you broke a friend.
Yeah,
yeah,
years went
you
by.
You want to be a good friend. I
yeah,
get it.
Years went by, and I told Falk.
That's hilarious.
The truth.
He
and
must
he goes,
have thought that was
he funny. Goes, you're a fucking idiot.
He must have thought that was
he thought it was the funniest.
That is great.
Thing.
So why? Tell me why, before we get into Captain America, why you don't like Spider-Man.
God, it's been so long since I saw it.
Okay.
My kid likes those. I've seen
I don't
them
like
with
the new
my
ones.
Kid.
I don't like the new ones.
Well, the thing is,
well,
think,
Andrew Garfield.
I think Andrew Garfield is a better Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire.
Really?
Absolutely. But I think his movies are
just 'cause you like tall, handsome, handsome guys. That's not who
yeah.
Peter Parker was. He was Tobey Maguire.
I don't give a shit. I'm telling you about okay. the good, compelling performance versus the whiny teen performance. I'm more interested, actually. We'll get into the new Spider-Man when we talk about this.
I'll tell you
movie.
One of my I'll tell you why I love Tobey Maguire. One of my favorite moments is the moment where Flash is throwing a punch at him in the school. It's very early on after he's been bitten, and it's slow motion, and his head turns. And he's got this look of, what the fuck? Like, what did I just do? That's why. And I never saw anything like that in Andrew Garfield. There was no, holy shit, I'm fucking Spider-Man that I love. That's what I
well,
love
that, they,
about.
Well, Andrew Garfield is the victim of bad writing.
Possibly.
I think he was a better Spider-Man. I really do. I think his movies were just shit writing. It's sort of like everybody hates Timothy Dalton as James Bond.
It's true. I don't. I'm not a fan.
And well, but it wasn't his fault. He was fine.
Yeah.
Those two movies were terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Brosnan.
Daniel Craig had really
I think Brosnan's a way better James Bond than Daniel Craig, but he only made one good Bond movie.
Which one? GoldenEye?
Yeah, the rest of them were all garbage.
That's true.
Daniel Craig had one garbage one, two mediocre ones, and one probably pretty good one.
This is a game show. Like.
Which one?
Name the one. Name the shitty Bond one. Well, anyway, so you feel you didn't like Tobey Maguire, so that was one of the reasons why you didn't like Spider-Man. But in general, you didn't like the story anyway.
Yeah, I'm not, like, I'm the opposite of most comic book people
okay.
that I really don't need any more origin stories.
Okay.
Just make a Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
You don't need to tell me how it happened again.
Interesting. Well, then you should have loved his role in Captain America Civil War.
Okay,
it was like,
I will.
Literally came out of nowhere.
Well, the
if
the
you don't
only...
know who Spider-Man is, that is, if you're the three people on the planet, that
right.
don't know who Spider-Man is. That whole exchange is extremely confusing.
Well, if you have
would
no
be.
Idea who Ant-Man or Spider-Man are, then that whole sequence doesn't make any sense. You have to know who they are going into it. That's one of the problems.
That one
like
problems
if you
have?
Break down that movie
mm-hmm.
and look at it through the eyes of somebody who has no fucking idea what's mm-hmm. who is what.
Oh, okay,
then
now
none
I see why you don't
of it
like
makes
it.
Any
okay.
goddamn sense.
Okay, so you basically you don't know anything about the Vision. You don't know anything about Scarlet Witch. You don't know anything
you
about
don't know any, if you walk into
Bucky.
This movie not knowing, which is not true
okay.
about a lot of the Marvel movies.
Absolutely.
Is that they set shit up and you what they've done smartly in the past, I
yeah.
think,
mm-hmm.
is they'll reintroduce iconic
yeah.
characters, imagining that there's at least one person who has no fucking idea.
Right.
And the people who do have an idea get to learn something new about that character,
right.
which matters to the story. None of that happened in Captain
okay.
America Civil War.
Oh, I could see that. Now I understand why you didn't like it. I thought you were going to come at what I thought you were going to come at me with. Was like a fanboy thing where it was like this was this and this was this, or dramatically this didn't work for me as a script or whatever.
Right.
Which is all, which extremely valid, you know, things to say. But you basically just didn't know who half the people were.
Well, and there were no, like, in a script for yeah. the, for, you're making a movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a comic book
yep.
person. I'm a movie person.
Right.
So even if that movie is about an iconic character that I've yeah. seen a thousand times before, yeah. The character has to go through some kind of goddamn arc.
Right. Well, I think the character does, but I think one of them,
I don't think
one of them definitely does.
Who?
Tony Stark. Without a doubt.
No, he doesn't, because he's in the same, he remains at the end of the movie in the same place that he started.
No, he starts the movie.
The story starts.
I disagree. I think he starts the movie, he has his guilt, because in the last movie, and I don't know, did you see the last Avengers movie? The Age of Ultron?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he has his guilt, because he built this robot that was... this thing, and that wrecked a bunch of shit. So he has this guilt that they have a footprint. They have a big footprint on the planet.
Sure.
All right? So he has that. He ends the movie the same way. For the most part, adds the same way. The collateral is all personal. So the personal thing for him, I think, is he starts it with, This is the group that's important. This is the group that's important. The Avengers are important to the planet. And at the end, he's like, half of them are in jail, right? Half of them are in the wherever the fuck they were, SHIELD jail somewhere. And he finds out that, you know, Bucky killed his parents, and that Cap knew about it but didn't tell him. So now there's like a personal thing that he no longer has. Yeah, he's got this whole thing throughout the whole movie. There's, you know, I disagree with you, and then it becomes personal at the end. That's why I think he...
I think you're digging. You're digging really? Deep to find a character arc, because, like, essentially, when the movie finally starts, and it takes a while to get going, because you have the opening action sequence, which is fine, but then there's a lot of talking, basically the slow build of them getting into their civil war, mm-hmm, these political mm-hmm. things, and it reminded me very much of a Star Wars prequel. It's like they might as well be talking about trade agreements and shit.
There was a lot of Phantom Menace shit.
Yeah. Going on. Yes. Yeah. Like, so, and that went on forever, and every now and then they'd break it up with a frenetically edited, like lots of frames removed. Fight scene sequence. And I can't say... stop removing fucking frames. First of all.
Well,
first
of all. You have a problem with that, because to me, I feel like... It. Well, can't... But otherwise, I guess I like the frames removed thing that the Russo brothers do. I thought it was refreshing because I got tired of the, shoot at 120 FPS and then roll it back at 20. You know what I mean? The super slow-mo stuff. So at least it wasn't that. To me, I felt like it was different.
It
was different for an Avengers movie.
I guess it made an Avengers movie look like Crank with Jason Statham. If that's your fucking thing, cool. I love Crank, but I don't want, like, if I go to a big, expensive movie, I don't want frames removed. I want to see everything.
Did you see Spy with Melissa McCarthy?
I loved Spy.
Jason Statham is delightful in Spy. He doesn't quite nail it, but he tries really hard to nail being Jason Statham.
And they write...
So great.
They wrote him...
They wrote him great.
And her, their weird relationship so well.
It's great.
That his, like, beefcake buffoonery, not quite getting... Like, it's great.
Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious.
Should we tell him this is a lake?
Yes.
Where the fuck is the river?
So anyway, that I digress. But all right, here's my, I don't know, you should keep going on what you didn't like, and then I'll give you my quick
defense. All right, so
or we could do this.
So it start well no, just jump in if you have a thought.
Okay.
But all I was saying was, you know, what they start having this discussion, and it builds into their entire disagreement. Yep. And then they go through all these action sequences.
Yep.
And then they're still at the end of the movie in the same place that they started. So there's no character arc. They both stick to their guns and they're stubborn, which I guess is a choice. But there wasn't enough interesting stuff. Yes, the sequence you're talking about was Spider-Man and Ant-Man.
Oh, it's amazing.
Is the most entertaining, fun bit of the movie. Yes,
without a doubt.
And you've got these two wisecracking dudes on opposite sides, and Ant-Man gets big.
Yeah, which is
And that's fun. Like, that whole sequence, I was like, this is great.
Everyone agrees the airport sequence is awesome.
Yeah, the airport sequence is awesome. Great. Yes. But the rest of the movie doesn't come anywhere near matching that visually. The end of the movie is them just, like, fighting with the stupid shield and stuff. It's boring. It's the three guys fighting.
You
can't have a giant action sequence like that and then have the climax of your film be just like this tiny bullshit fight.
Right. Okay. Well, this is why, first of all, this is why I liked it. And I get all your, I honestly get all your points, but I don't think you're persuading me that, like, I don't like the movie anymore. But I'll tell you why I liked it. So why I liked it was, I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm hardcore comic book guy. I'm more old school, like I was when I was a kid. And a lot, and like Civil War was way past when I started reading comic books.
Well, there's been so many Civil Wars.
Yes, and I read some recently before it came out. I read the series on I downloaded them on Comixology or something like that. I watched them, and I mean, I read them, and they were great. And I liked the movie even more than I liked the comic books, because to me, it was like, first of all, I didn't know it was going to be an Avengers movie. I don't like, to be honest with you, I don't love the Captain America movies. I don't.
You didn't like the first two?
I like the first one a lot. First one's pretty good. The origin story. And you say you didn't like origin stories. But first one's pretty good.
That's an origin story that plays all the Raiders of the Lost Ark trump cards throughout. So it's just an adventure movie.
No, it's great.
Your origin story is an adventure movie, most of the origin stories I don't like are the ones that take, like, I don't like the first Iron Man movie. It takes too much fucking time for him to get to Iron Man.
Right.
It's a movie about a guy building a metal suit.
Well, a lot of that's money, I think. Like, back then, like now, they'll shit money at anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where Disney will throw money at any Marvel property, regardless, even Ant-Man, there was a fair amount of action before he became Ant-Man.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly. But
that was an origin story I like.
Iron Man, they didn't have the money back then. That wasn't a $250 million movie. That was a $100 million movie, which is crazy that I'm saying that, but that's not a lot of money for a Marvel movie these days. That was like a $100 million movie, tops, I'm guessing.
Right.
And so, all that Iron Man stuff is CGI.
Yeah.
I mean, not all of it. If he's in a suit and he's sitting around walking and talking, he's in a suit.
Well, and they were doing a lot of, like, wire work and stuff with the,
right. Sure. And by the way, Robert Downey Jr. has the easiest job of all those Marvel dudes. Because if you think for a second he is in that suit, you're fucking retarded.
No, most of the movie is him getting shot in a extreme close-up bullshit.
Yeah, it's the heads-up display or him in a scene. Yeah. But if Iron Man's in the scene, that's not Robert Downey Jr. That's some
Downey Jr. is totally Seagaling Iron Man.
Oh, how do you mean that?
Have you seen a Steven Seagal movie in the last 5 years?
No, I have not. Which one should I watch?
None. None.
No, just for the
The train one.
The train one.
Like Under Siege 2?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dark Territory?
No, is that the train one?
Yeah, that's
Which was Under Siege 1?
It's just Under Siege. It's on a battleship. It's Die Hard on a battleship.
Oh, that's right. But they were both Die Hard on a blank.
Yeah.
Yes.
One was Die Hard on a battleship.
Yes.
The other one was Die Hard
on
a passenger train.
Right.
Where Eric Bogosian is the terrorist.
Yes! That's crazy.
Yeah, it was
weird. You went to NYU, right?
Yeah.
It's like an NYU guy is a villain. Like, he went to NYU, right? Isn't he like a famous NYU grad?
Yeah, when he did that movie, I was going to his one-man show.
He's like a theater guy.
Yeah, he's a one-man show guy. Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll. That was the show I saw.
The other guy who's like that for me, where you're like, come on, I can't. But at the time, I had no problem with it, but looking back at it now, is a bad guy in Die Hard.
Alan Rickman?
Alan Rickman. But I look at Alan Rickman, now I feel like I've been totally, I love Alan Rickman. But I feel like...
R.I.P.
Now I think, R.I.P., God rest his soul. But now I think about Alan Rickman, unfortunately, I don't know whether, fortunately, Galaxy Quest, unfortunately, Harry Potter. Like, Harry Potter has ruined him as the guy... But he Die Hard to me.
He fucking loved doing those movies. He made so much money off those movies.
On the
Harry Potter movies.
Well, yeah, no, he wasn't going to do them. Retirement.
He wasn't going to do them, and his fucking goddamn grandkids or nieces and nephews or something were like, "Oh, you gotta." Or maybe it was his daughter. I don't know.
You got to use Snape. Are you kidding
me? Like the little kids were like, "You've got to do this," and he's like, "What?" And the little kids made him fall in love with the books.
I get it.
And he took the job, and he was like, this is the greatest job ever, because the little kids love it.
The little kids love it, which must have made him feel great as a, you know, grandparent, and it must have made him great. Good. They didn't have to travel very far.
Hans Gruber is his fucking best performance.
No, I think
down.
I have to watch it again, because it, you know, we watch it every Christmas, because we consider it a Christmas movie.
Everybody does. Everybody not only considers it, they don't. Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon's a Christmas
movie. It's not a. But Die Hard beyond Lethal Weapon.
If you want to see what Christmas is considered, like in LA, that's
considered.
Weapon.
Yeah, it's considered the Christmas movie. Die Hard is.
Yeah,
it's not even. It's more of a Christmas movie at this point.
Yeah, it takes somebody's on a plane.
Christmas
somebody's
girl.
Waiting for somebody on a plane. They land at the end.
Everybody, I guarantee you, the most annually watched Christmas movie is Die Hard.
For me, it's Bad Santa.
Oh, Bad Santa's the fucking best.
But
for sure, I watch that every year.
Yes, I agree. And also Lethal Weapon. Right. If you live in L.A.,
Lethal Weapon
LA
for
Christmas
sure,
movie.
But more Die Hard. Because you hear from kids now.
That they're
in their 20s and teens. They're like, me and my family watch Die Hard every year.
That's hilarious.
Like, really?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I could see that.
We are very picky about the R-rated movies we show our 10-year-old, which you should be, I guess.
No, you should, but they're tamer back then.
Right, but he saw White House Down, which was PG-13.
Which one was White House Down?
It's the Roland Emmerich Die Hard in the White House that came out a few years ago.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah.
At the same
Who
time
was the president? Was it Morgan Freeman?
No, Morgan Freeman was the vice president in London Has Fallen, which was the R-rated version of the same movie. Because Aaron Eckhart, who the fuck is the president in Jamie Foxx?
Jamie Foxx was the president.
Jamie Foxx is a fucking
was
president
White House
that
Down?
Channing Tatum had to save in White House Down.
Okay, I didn't see it because I don't go to Channing Tatum movies too much.
Well, you should. He's delightful. Have you ever seen Step Up?
Oh, is he in the Step Up movies?
He's in the first Step Up movie. In the second. He has
no,
a cameo.
I feel like that's a cultural divot that I needs to be spackled for me, so I should watch it. I should go see this. At least one of the Step Up.
Okay, here's the thing. The first Step Up movie I saw was the fifth one,
right.
And I saw it on cable. Middle of the night. I was with Skelton.
You saw the first one?
Steve
Skelton, fifth one?
The fifth one, which was a 3D movie.
Okay.
But it was obviously not in 3D. Yeah. It was just on HBO or something. So it was middle of the night, and me and my friend were like, hey, let's watch something.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know. I put on the TV because I didn't want to get up. And on HBO, it was Step Up, and All In, which takes place in Vegas. And we were like, oh, God, this is so stupid. I mean, the dialogue's terrible. I mean, it really is terrible. And we're like, oh, God, this is so stupid. But as soon as they start dancing.
Yeah, you don't care because it's great.
It's fucking amazing.
Was the first one with Julia Stiles? Or what was the dance
with
movie with Julia Stiles and an African-American co-star? What am I thinking of? And it was a dance movie.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No, that's not one of the Step Up
this
movies.
This is...
I feel like
the first one, Channing Tatum, is like a street kid. He's like the most gorgeous white street kid ever. And he has the romance with the girl who does ballet. I can't remember who it was. Yeah. But she like does ballet, but he does hip-hop. And they come together on that and they create their own hip-hop ballet. But he is so good.
Was he good in it? Okay.
Oh, his dancing is unbelievable. The Magic Mike stuff totally makes sense. Soderbergh
saw that.
I might have
seen him something in recently that I thought he was good. It might have been a comedic thing. I'm trying to remember what his
He was really good in 21 Jump Street.
I didn't see John Wick.
Oh, you didn't see those movies?
No.
They're really funny.
Really?
You're cheating yourself.
Really?
Sam. Yeah, Sam. They're really funny.
Okay.
Really funny. So a couple of the best R-rated comedies that have come down the pike in a long time.
I feel like R-rated movies are... Man, I don't know. I think if you watch like Animal House or what's another good R-rated movie from a long time ago, or even Die Hard's a good example of an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
But Die Hard, I feel like they would have done PG-13.
Well, they already did a PG-13 Die Hard.
It must
have
been the easiest thing in the world to do.
You just take out the cursing and you don't.
Oh, is that what it is?
And the shootings are bloodless. That's Live Free or Die Hard. I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was Live Free or Die Hard. What was the last one called? A Good Day to Die Hard, which was back to R, but it was awful. The PG-13 one is probably the best sequel, honestly, of the Die Hard movies.
I find it interesting that the movie, that the film industry has like basically, R used to be, I think the Hangover movie probably had a lot to do with it, but R used to be... like a stigma, you know what I mean? Like everybody's trying to get a PG-13, and now I think people are like, "Fuck it, let's just do an R." They get the same amount of money.
Well,
before statistically, R-rated movies got less. PG-13 movies. Is that a generational thing? You think?
I think it's a generational thing because when you think about it,
the millennials were all kids.
I came up in the '80s,
right?
So the '80s was about R-rated shit.
Yes,
PG-13 was new.
Beverly Hills Cop was probably rated R.
Hard R. That was the first R-rated movie that my dad took me to.
Really?
Like I begged.
That's a good movie. That's a good movie.
I was 16 and I begged and I begged. It's great.
Do you know how hard it is to do a movie like that? Like how hard it is? No one wants to do a movie that's a comedy and an action movie. That's a comedy and an action movie. Those are very hard.
Where it's not ludicrous. I mean,
right.
It's like they call... I loved Keanu. I'm not shitting on Keanu.
Yeah, Keanu's fun.
I had a good time with Keanu, but it's a goofball movie. It's not... Like, it has action in it, but it's not... The action
it's an absurd pothead movie, in my
opinion. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. Whereas, you know, in the 80s, you had 48 Hours and
Beverly
Hills Cop.
It was great.
Yeah, I did too. I'm not shitting on Keanu.
No, me neither.
But it's 100% comedy. It's like like Pineapple Express or
right.
whatever that movie
yes.
was.
Comedy.
They called it an action comedy. It's not.
Right.
It has some wildly violent sequences for what I consider to be no reason. I loved the first half of that movie, and then once it got absurdly violent, I was like, I thought this was a pothead movie.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
But isn't it like when you see like Eddie Murphy? Like Eddie Murphy was so good in Beverly Hills Cop. People forget how good he was.
But he was grounded too. Hilarious and grounded.
That's the reason is they knew he's one of those actors, and there's not that many of them that can play funny and serious without not too serious. But he's one of those few people that can play, but like just. Right over the edge on both sides. He's so good.
He plays, not to like use too much actory dialogue, but he plays his given circumstances entirely realistically and then is unafraid to make jokes.
Right.
And he makes... And because he's playing these scenes so realistically, it makes it that much funnier when he's funny. Because he knows, like, in the warehouse sequence... When his blonde female friend, that was the other thing I liked about it, is like him and his blonde friend were just friends.
Mm-hmm.
There was no fuckiness
about
that.
There was no, she was a sidekick character.
And he was sexual.
They weren't even trying to put, he was sexual.
And she was sexual, but they were not sexual with each other. I loved that about that.
It's interesting. You don't think that might have been like... Do you feel like there was a draft where they were, or do you feel like that was more about interracial shit at the time?
Oh God, that's
you know
a fucking good point.
Because I think that's what it is.
I honestly
think that's what it is. Like whether it was the studio or Eddie Murphy, that was probably more of a statement of the times about. You know, I think now we look back on it and go, "Isn't it cool to see two people and they're not having sex?" But I think back then. Everybody was fucking, like, all characters were fucking, and to me, I think that's more of a race thing.
I think you're absolutely right. I don't disagree. I'm going to go ahead and say happy accident.
Which was happy accident?
No. I'm not.
Oh,
I'm
that saying it was a happy, no, it maybe was a happy accident.
No, maybe because I love their relationship. Yeah, their friendship. It's a man and a woman of a friendship.
Right. Yes.
But you're right.
Yes,
they,
very
they
modern.
They cut out the sex because he's black and exactly. She's white.
But it's very but yes, very modern.
Because Stallone was supposed to do that fucking movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Stallone was their first choice. That movie was written for a white guy.
If you get that.
As was 48. Most of Eddie Murphy's early career iconic roles were written for white people.
I believe that.
He jumped in and made it way better.
There was someone, I forget who it was. I don't know whether, I don't think it was Kevin Hart. I don't think it was Chris Rock. It was someone else. It was a African-American comedian who was saying that, just talking about...
By African-American, you mean a black guy?
Yeah, black guy. And so, yeah, black dude, black actor. So, like, when he gets scripts, they've probably been written for a white guy.
Uh-huh.
They've probably been rewritten for Kevin Hart. They'd probably be rewritten for Chris Rock. They've probably been rewritten. Like, you know,
it falls to him.
Yeah, so, like, eventually it goes because, you know, not a lot of black actors top line, you know, big movies.
Yeah,
Kevin
true.
Hart does it. You know, Chris Rock used to
but
do
Kevin
it.
But Kevin Hart is the Eddie Murphy of now.
He is.
There's only one dude.
I know.
There should
that's
be more.
That's fucking
and
sad.
The Rock. With, and they're both in the movie together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of sad. Yeah.
Yeah. But The Rock's like mixed. He's like America.
Yeah, he is America.
He's like, you know, he's Samoan giant. And he's giant.
He's wonderful. Like, yes. He's wonderful. But that's true, I think, about even more so about women.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, no. I mean, like, there's no... When was the last romantic comedy?
You know what? I saw one I really liked.
Okay.
It came out of the UK. Simon Pegg and... I'm blanking on her name. She's so fucking funny. A British actress. But it's about her. And it's a woman behaving badly kind of movie.
Okay.
And he's the romantic interest.
Yeah.
It's called Man Up.
Okay.
It is hilarious.
Okay.
It's hilarious. And she is, and I'm blanking on her name, but she's fucking hilarious in this movie. But it's very rare that you get... I mean, but most of the American ones are garbage anyway.
Well, also now, it's just like there's like... If there's 100 movies made a year, they're mostly all sequels or existing IP. And there's, you know,
well, that's
10
thing.
Movies that get made.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like...
For a piece of talent, you know?
Yeah, but I...
Like Jennifer Lawrence could get a... Jennifer Lawrence doesn't have to because David O. Russell will put her in a cool movie. But Jennifer Lawrence could do whatever she wanted. She pretty much... I guarantee she could get pretty much anything... Greenlit that she wanted. If she wanted to do a rom-com.
She should. She should get away from him.
Oh, for David Russell? Yeah. I'm not a fan of David Russell either.
Although
that's not true.
I loved
The Fighter.
I didn't love The Fighter.
Ugh.
I loved Three Kings.
Ugh. You're from...
And I loved Flirting with Disaster.
Flirting with Disaster is like... One of my favorite movies.
Three Kings, or rather, The Fighter is good only for its actual Boston accents.
I was going to say that, being
from,
a guy from where you're from.
Only from the women in the movie, who are actually...
You didn't think Christian Bale sounded like a dude from Lowell. I'm talking not Boston, Lowell.
No, he didn't sound.
I thought he sounded good. Yeah. I live with a guy.
I had relatives in Lowell. He didn't sound
really.
Good. Yeah,
because I live with a guy. One of my roommates for like 5 years. And again, I'm from Long Island originally, but I lived in Boston for 13 years. And my roommate was from Lowell, and I thought he nailed the Lowell thing.
Well, that's just because you were judgmental about your roommate unfairly. Because it was a comic performance.
I don't know.
Without meaning to be so. It's fine.
You're from the cultured part of Boston. You don't have an accent.
No, I don't.
So I think you're carrying around a little...
I may be.
That you're carrying around a little like, hey, people from Boston don't talk like this. And I'm more like, I'm the first person to say somebody's got a bad Boston accent. No. I love Christian Bale.
Here's my thing about accents, and I don't do them.
Really? You don't do them when you're
acting? I don't do them. No. If they want me to do it, the only show, TV show, that I've ever swallowed that for is Fargo.
Okay.
And I did the Wisconsin accent for that.
Okay.
And I worked my ass off.
Yeah, to get it right.
So the bit part I was going out for would sound authentic. But that, like, that's a bit part. You know what I mean? And I had to work my ass off to get those. Yeah, it must have been like 15, 20 lines.
Did you feel like it was really hard for you to do it, or you just wanted to do it?
Oh, it was super hard. It was super hard for me to do it. And I had to do it right, because once you get the accent right, I'm not a vocal fry guy. That's what all the British and Australian and Kiwi actors who come here, they
do
the
American. Yeah.
They talk like this all the time. Like Russell Crowe talks this all the time. But if he ever gets up in its register, I mean, you can hear it. Like Gibson did it. Gibson's the godfather of this.
Yeah, he's really
he would do this. And then, like, when he gets super...
is that the trick?
Yeah. That when he got emotional... Yeah, because when he got emotional, you would hear his Australian accent.
I always used to say when I get drunk or upset that my New York comes out.
Yeah,
like that, normally it's I'm the like same, I think people don't know where I'm from or whatever, and that if I get passionate about something, I sound like a New Yorker.
That's the
or a little Boston.
It sort of goes in the opposite direction of what I'm saying, but it's exactly the same mental, the psychological thing. It's like when you're emotional, you're shutting off the accent that you've learned.
Right.
That isn't your natural accent.
Right.
I talk in mine. I've never done that. I've never learned my way out of an accent. I never had to. So that doesn't happen to me. But I also respect so much the culture of wherever you're from that gives you that accent.
Yeah, sure.
So, and I feel that it's so minute regionally.
Yeah.
Every accent is so minute. To do a Southern, like when someone puts on a breakdown... For me, as an actor,
Southern. You like where?
Do a Southern accent.
You like where?
What the fuck are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
South of what?
South what? Right.
Yeah. What do you mean?
That's true.
Tell me the fucking town, because then I have a shot of finding someone from the town who can just read the lines you want me to.
Right, then
I wind up signing NDA agreements, and I can't talk to anybody about anything.
Right.
But so that's why usually – I just think that show Fargo is so good that I'm willing to be a hack actor on it, if that makes any sense.
Well,
I just want
to
be there.
I'm sure you weren't. I'll have to catch up on it so I can see you and I'll tell you to your face that you're a hack actor.
I'm not in Fargo. I didn't get the job.
Oh, you didn't get it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, now
and I go
good.
Out
you saved
for
me
it.
A lot of time.
Yeah. Don't watch Fargo. They didn't hire me in my hack accent. But I really tried really hard. But I hope that eventually they'll come up with some kind of character that I'll be right for that doesn't need to have an accent.
That's interesting.
But I don't do them because I think it's insulting to the people who have them. Because I get insulted all the time.
Yeah, no, Boston's a tough one because it's really hard.
Somebody told me, you'll love Black Mass. And I was like, I cannot get fucking past a single one of these accents.
It wasn't the best.
Someone told me Joel Edgerton's Boston accent was great. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He sounds like a British guy trying to do a Boston accent.
And
that's
the Southie thing
like.
Is also very different.
It's very different.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like...
So you couldn't even get past it. It was a decent movie.
If Marky Mark does a Southie accent, it's fine. But if he does a Gloucester accent, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, Marky Mark is from there.
Right.
But he couldn't... But he sounds terrible in The Perfect Storm. He sounds terrible.
Right.
And I love Marky Mark.
Sure.
I mean, Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
I'm not... Yeah, you know, I don't want to say he's not a great actor.
Yeah, I get it.
Actually, I don't think he's a great actor. But I do love Marky Mark in the same way that I love The Rock and people like that. You know, it's like, but just, that's what I really appreciated about George Clooney in that movie, The Perfect Storm.
Right.
Because he made the bold choice of just saying, who fucking cares?
I'm just going to
talk like George Clooney. Because people are going to be looking at me and going, that's George Clooney.
Yeah.
And if I try to talk like a Gloucester
fisherman. There are plenty of people in Boston that don't talk with that.
Well, and honestly, in that movie, like the fighter.
That's what's interesting about Boston. It's the same thing in New York. If you go to New York City, everybody talks with a Queens accent or a Brooklyn accent.
Right.
Look, fucking Brooklyn, there's no such thing as a Brooklyn accent. It's a bunch of white people now. You know what I mean? A bunch of white people. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like a bunch of millennial hipsters. hipsters.
Guys with beards. That's what it is. Yeah, I'm not into it. I'm not into British people. People are like, oh, I never would have known he was British. And I'm like, really? How did you not know that? Because it was very clear every time he had an emotion that he had to talk during, he would sound British.
Yeah.
And that's, I can't get by that. Just like I can't get by the fact that in Captain America Civil War.
All right, yeah, let's wrap this up because I think I've used up enough of your time. Thank you for coming and doing my show.
Thanks for having me on the show.
I'll tell you, ultimately, I'm hearing that this is my therapy coming in. This is my years in therapy coming in. I'm hearing that you're not a big comic book fan. There was a lot of what do you call it? Like, you were responsible to bring a lot of information to the movie as a viewer, and that you didn't feel like the movie, no one had a clear character thing.
Right.
And you also feel that you didn't like taking frames out of action sequences. I would say.
I really don't. Like, of all the things you just listed.
That's D.
It's the worst.
Oh, that's A? Part. Oh, that's A.
Never remove frames. Okay. Never. Don't do it.
Okay. I would say, you know, what I liked was I liked that I feel like there's been a certain look to these movies. First of all, it's an Avenger movie. So let's just start there. So I can't even talk to, like, it's not a Captain America movie. It's an Avenger movie. I felt like it was a nice... For me, I felt like it was a nice departure. It was my favorite one of all the Captain America movies. It was a nice departure from the Avenger movies to do something like pull frames out, because at this point, it's sort of like Joss Whedon did his thing, and, you know, I didn't think the second movie was that great. And...
the Avengers?
Yeah, I didn't love the Ultron movie that much. The first one I loved. And... I felt story-wise, I thought it was directed well. I thought the story-wise it was fun. I knew all the characters. So I have the whole thing. Like, I came with my bag of information, so that was fine. Totally filled in all the blanks, so that wasn't a problem for me. And I thought that
you shouldn't have to fill in the blanks when somebody's telling you a story.
Well, no, as I've said many times for many of the projects I've worked on that were, you know, underappreciated or not or maligned or hated is I'll say it wasn't for you. This movie was not for you. This movie was not for somebody who didn't have a wealth of knowledge of the Marvel Universe. And you can feel
But like, I had that wealth of knowledge anyway.
You did? How do you have all of it?
Well, I've seen all the Marvel movies.
Why do you keep going if you hate Marvel movies?
I don't hate them all the time.
Okay.
I hated this one. And the point that I still haven't brought up is that I really don't understand why people love this and hate Batman versus Superman. Because they're the same fucking movie.
Now we're going into Act 3 here.
Yeah, the same fucking movie with different color palettes.
I disagree. Why, tell me how you feel that way.
They're paced the same. They're talk heavy at the front. They break up the talking with very quick frame removed action sequences. They're having the same conversation about collateral damage and that problem and being governed over by a government instead of themselves. Their big action sequences are entirely dependent on cameos from other characters who are entirely underdeveloped as far as the actual story that you're looking at is concerned.
Yeah.
Totally requires you understanding who Wonder Woman is in Batman versus Superman. And both movies end on a whimper instead of a giant
Both of them are setup movies. I don't want to compare them to The Empire Strikes Back, but they're both, you're absolutely right that both of them are setup movies. They don't end in a satisfying place. I absolutely agree with you.
You can have a setup, you can have a postscript setup, but you can't, your whole movie has to go somewhere. It can't just go to the setup.
I get that, but I feel like here's my thing about Batman versus Superman and why, even if I could concede on a few of your points, I would say, and I might be
even to, if you could,
even if I had to think about it, I and might go, God, gonna. You're right about this. I still liked it. I didn't think about it enough when I was there. You're right. This is a bad movie. But I will say, if I'm going to compare them, I would say that, yes, it was superhero versus superhero, which everybody loves watching superheroes fight each other. What I loved about the Avengers was I felt that they found some Captain America Civil War, that they found some way to make a balanced team somehow that worked for me. Whereas I will never believe that Batman can beat Superman ever. Kryptonite is cheating. Even if you got it, I think how's it cheating?
It's just one fucking weakness.
Because it's first
it's not
of all,
cheating. It's a logical step towards beating Superman.
Well, I didn't. To me, I just didn't buy it. I didn't buy. I mean, look. If I had to go, I would literally have to go watch a movie and tell you which sequence where I think that Superman would have caved his chest in, even with that fucking suit on.
Right.
But that said,
that's fair.
That said, the big I didn't believe their action sequences, and I believed them in the Avengers. Friggin' John Cheadle's character gets paralyzed. Great, there's real collateral, real damage. The other thing about Batman vs. Superman is that they have that weird character at the end who's like a bad guy. I'm sure I'm supposed to know who it is because he's from the DC world, but I don't care. Which is like the guy made out of molten lava or whatever, and they're all fighting.
Oh, where
him.
They put Lex Luthor in a. In the toxic waste.
Yeah, whatever the toxic waste. I just, to
me, it looks like an orc.
I didn't like that in. I love the first Avengers movie, but I didn't like that about the first Avengers movie.
But it's like at least they had some super monster to fight as opposed to some nerd, some sad nerd. The bad guy in Captain America Civil War is a sad nerd whose wife was. Killed in collateral damage, and he's turned the two superheroes against each other.
I agree, but the other...
He's just a sad nerd. Who cares about a sad nerd?
No one cares about a sad nerd. What you care about...
That's scary.
What you care about is that he manufactured a series of events that took a bunch of people who worked together and got them to fight. And that's what you want to see when you go to... The Avengers was always about... If you look at... I'll nerd out on you. If you look at the old Avengers comic books, the big selling ones were every X number of episodes, it would be like, the Hulk fights Thor, you know.
Sure, sure.
You know, something happened. There's an evil spell. Loki casts an evil spell on Captain America, and now he fights Iron Man. It's literally like, that's what the Avengers... This is actually
a true Avengers movie. Why didn't they do that, though? Like, why didn't they have
Isn't it cool to have an original reason why they would fight?
Not if it takes so long for them to explain it and figure it out. It would have been more fun if it had just been Iron Man was possessed by the spirit of Satan.
I don't know. I disagree. I feel like that's cheap. But
just get into the fucking shit. Yeah, it's maybe it's cheap, but the whole thing is cheap. It's about superheroes fighting. So why are we hanging out, like, making a big deal out of it? Just
because
have them fight. It should have been an 80-minute movie. And it should have started with Iron Man being possessed by Satan.
Yeah, or Loki, whatever.
And I don't care who.
Yeah.
Satan's good. He gets possessed
by
Satan. And then
that's
he fights
DC
Captain America. I don't give a shit.
I think Sony has a deal with Satan. They can't cross over to Disney.
There is not a goddamn studio in this town that doesn't have a deal with Satan.
There you go.
Yeah.
Boom. All right. Well, I don't know if we got anywhere, but thank you for doing my podcast. God, I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This is good times.
Thank you. That was our out.
That was it.
That was fun. Feel free to delete anything you want to delete.
I delete nothing.
Yeah.